Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is always so wonderful to have you along. And you know, I really, really love interviewing influential authors, and I'm so delighted to be interviewing one today. His name is Dr. Yves Patak, and he was born in 1968 in Zurich, Switzerland. The author works as a holistic coach, hypnosis therapist, and acupuncturist in his own practice. Writing is absolutely a huge passion of his, and six of his novels have been published. Other literary works have been awarded. Further projects are certainly, they're on their way. They're under their way. So, Dr. Patak has two children and lives with his family in a rural part of Zurich, Switzerland. For his medical studies, Patak spent 3 months in Jamaica and often traveled to the Far East, India, Sri Lanka, and Caribbean. This brought him into contact with miscellaneous cultures, rites, and tribal medicine, and has strongly inspired him both in his work as a physician and writer. The author's main focus currently is mystery novel and thriller writing. So that's very, very, very interesting. So I'd love to take this opportunity right now to welcome Dr. Yves Patak. Hello, Dr. Patak. How are you?
Hi, Miriam. I'm fine. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, I'm really, really honored that you're on my show. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. So, Dr. Patak, what made you switch from being a general practitioner to a life as a writer?
Well, I didn't switch completely. It's just that after many years as a general practitioner and just writing on the side as a hobby, I decided that I definitely wanted to give more time and space to my big passion, as you said, which is writing. So 4 years ago, I just like gave up my GP practice to become more of a holistic counselor, so something like a holistic shrink in a way. Mm-hmm. And this permitted me to get much more time and space for my writing. So now I'm working 50-50, which means I'm still working about like 14 hours a day, but in a very pleasant way because I love it. And so that's my new life that I started 4 years ago. So now I'm a holistic GP, shrink, and writer.
Wow, that's very, very interesting. So tell me, are there any correlations between your two professions as a physician and a writer?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think the main link would be what I'd call creative imagination, because both in hypnotherapy and when I'm writing, I have to get into a trance myself. When I'm doing hypnotherapy, it's to go along with my clients, to really feel myself into their worlds, to lead them to the pacing and leading, as you call that in hypnotherapy. And when I'm writing, I get into similar states of mind. When you're in the real creative flow, I think it's a very similar state to being in a trance, either as the therapist or as the client. So I think this is the link that I love to really have in my life, because it's a very pleasant state of mind. It feels like you're absolutely in the flow and in the balance of things. And so I can use this many, many hours every day, both as a physician and as a writer now.
Wow, that's very interesting. So unlike many writers, you venture into quite a variety of genres, going from spiritual to humorous to scary. So what makes you walk such various paths?
Well, I guess that's my character. In the Chinese zodiac, I'm a monkey, and monkeys are a bit notorious for being curious and restless.
Yes,
and so I've got this itchiness, this restlessness that makes me want to explore all kinds of worlds. And generally, I just have to follow my moods, because I don't have a real concept. Sometimes I just feel like being deep, psychological, spiritual, and so on. And sometimes I feel like venturing into the worlds of darkness and the thrill, which have their justification as well, I think, just like for different reasons and means. But all in all, I just feel that I couldn't just stay on one single path, because I would simply get bored.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, because a lot of authors just stick with one. And I think the reason they do that is because they don't want to lose focus. They want to be focused. So it's amazing that you can be so focused on several. So, I mean, how do you accommodate such different genres?
Well, as I said, it's my moods. It's the voice within that guides me into a special genre, into a special kind of set of mind. And I think that for the moment, since I'm doing a lot of spiritual and psychological, and I would say more like positive work in my practice with my clients, almost as a counterbalance, I love to really get into the darker parts of the thriller, but not always like the serious thrillers. Sometimes they're humoristic as well. So my latest before last thriller was pretty funny, I think. And this is something I just have to play by ear. Of course, like from the marketing point of view, it's better to really specialize into one single genre, as you just pointed out.
Yeah.
But I think for the moment I'm sort of juggling between the humoristic thriller and the real dark thriller. And all in all, I think this creates a good balance in my life between my more like positive and creative world as a physician and the bit darker world as a writer.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So now you've been talking already about the darker side of things, like the darker side of the thrillers, and you write horror novels too, like you said, anything scary. So now I'm going to ask you, would you say that evil, which I'm sure you've written about, has its justification in this world? Not just, you know, everyone focuses, oh, be good, which obviously we want to encourage positivity. But what do you think the purpose of the darkness or evil has in this world?
I think that depends on your definition of what's evil or what's darkness. Because I think evil, in a way, is very close, even as a word, to the word devil, which appears in almost all of my novels in one shape or another. And I think that the devil or evil quite often is a perfect symbol for the human ego. I think there's probably nothing like good or evil if you just look at it from a neutral point of view. It's always about our emotions. There's a situation, and we project certain emotions onto this situation. Of course, if you're more programmed to think in a Christian or ethical or moralistic way, you look at it in a different way than if you were just, let's say, an animal out in the jungle. So everything depends on your own ways of thinking. And I think the way we are now a bit torn as human beings between our more natural side, our biological side, and our more let's say our latest acquisitions, which is more towards ethics and moral and so on. I think we're quite often torn in this polarity, which is something so typical for our world, that we do have a polarity between light and dark and good and evil.
Yeah.
We're judging everything. We always put things to the left or to the right. So I think seen in this way, evil does have its justification. It has its meaning that it just belongs in a world of polarity, and it certainly has something to teach us. At least that's my belief, that to live a human life means that you have to evolve, you have to go through certain experiences, and I think nobody would feel really good at just having the good side of life, even though most people wish for that. But I think that would be pretty boring. So I think that the so-called evil part or the dark side of life often has something to teach us, maybe only as a signpost, because I often think of this metaphor that when you find the shadow and you follow it in the right direction, you will eventually always find the light. So I would say yes, evil does have its justification, but not in a way that I wish for it, that everybody should have as much evil as possible. But it's not there just to run away from it.
Well, I'm just reading about some of your literary work, and you have one called The Healer, which is a mystery thriller, and you also have one called The Screener, which is a breathtaking thriller spanning between medical science and the occult. That's pretty heavy. And you got Heaven and Hell, Who Cares for Karma, which is supposed to be a hilarious karmic novel, but that's in the German language.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have one called Can't Be Buggered with Karma, which is also a spiritual guidebook, and you got Deathly Shallow, which is a psychological mystery thriller, also in German language. But the one that I want to talk more about is Dialogue with the Devil. I would like to touch up on that. So with the Dialogue with the Devil, you're a published writer in the USA. So what firstly made you choose self-publishing in the German part of the world?
Well, to be totally honest, at first I just went the normal way, but just like looking for a real publisher. But it seems like I'm one of those generation people already who can hardly find the entry if you don't really have a a really good piece of luck to know somebody, a publisher or some other connections. So at first I just got the usual rejection forms until I thought that maybe self-publishing would be a good way to try out if people like my writing after all, so you don't just depend on one single person who decides if your writing is good or not, because anyway, most publishers are totally overwhelmed with all the manuscripts they get nowadays. Yeah, I think there are positive and negative sides to normal, regular publishing and self-publishing. And as you probably have seen or heard, self-publishing is really becoming a major competition for regular publishing these days, so-called indie publishing. And I think it's nice that you have the audience as a judge to tell you if your writing is good and interesting or not. And so far, I think the feedbacks were pretty good.
Could you tell us more about your book, Dialogue with the Devil?
Well, when it comes about the plot, it's pretty funny that most people who read the book thought it's purely autobiographical, but it's not. But I started the book with this idea of a disgruntled physician, just like myself, because I had my disgruntled times myself as well, who sort of closes down for the evening. He just closes down in his practice, and just before he walks out, he finds that his laptop computer opens all by itself and reboots itself. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in this interview or in this dialogue with the devil or an entity that calls itself the devil. Of course, in the end, it's not, but I'm not going to give away the end of the book, which is the final twist. And so this devil is, in a way, the competition or the counterpart to this God that you find in the book Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Because that was the major inspiration for my book. This Conversations with God series has been highly successful for many years now. And I read the first book and I loved it, gave it to many of my patients or just told them to read it. And quite a lot of them told me it was too complicated for them to understand, which surprised me, but still I thought it's a sad thing because it's a great book. So I thought, why not try something lighter, something that's focusing the other side officially, at least in the beginning, but in a way still gives this poor doctor who's like really dragged into a breathless conversation all through the night that gives him a lot of spiritual inputs on how to really change his life and forsake his victimhood and really start changing his points of view. And I think it's a book that quite a few of my readers told me they really did read within one single night, so it must be like quite breathless to read as well, and nobody told me it was too complicated to understand. So I think it's a good counterpart or riposte to Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God, and that's basically it. It's a spiritual guidebook, but with a tongue-in-cheek character.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, I suppose you're also, in a way, teaching readers that we all have a light and dark side, right?
Yes, as long as you see that way, that's true, yes.
Because, you know, I think a lot of people, from what I've seen, they don't want to admit they have a dark side. But the fact of the matter is we all do. We all have a shadow self, if you will.
Absolutely. I think this is something that most psychologists would agree to anyway, that we have this shadow within. But the thing is that people handle this shadow or look at it in very different ways. I found that many people who call themselves spiritual or that they are like on a spiritual quest quite often try to deny that shadow. They are not trying to face it. They really deny it. They want to see themselves as creatures of the light, as somebody who's really pure, and so on. So they just want to look at their own beautiful facets and aspects. And I think that's wrong, because this shadow will always follow you. You can't just, like, walk away from a shadow, just like I think only Peter Pan managed to walk away from his own shadow. And so I think the real way to change things is usually to face them. You don't always have to go through the worst traumas of your life. It's not always about that. But basically, I think you have to face your own shadow. You have to find it, to recognize it. And then quite often transformation takes place all by itself, or it gets much easier to change something. But as long as people just like turn a blind eye and just say, hey, I'm not that way, I don't have my shadow, I don't have a dark side, I think they're desperately trying to get away from something that they could never run away from. So I'm trying to lead my clients very gently towards this this pattern of facing your problems, your darker sides, your shadows, and not to try to run away from them. Because usually once you face them, they are not such great nightmares as many people suspect they might be. Quite often you can get rid of them in an easier way than you might have thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the trick is just to not let shadow take over, and I think that's what it is. But, yeah, I mean, people are ashamed to admit that they have a shadow side, and we can't because we all do. We're all human. We're going to have a shadow side, just like those who are considered to be evil do have a light side, too. It just depends on how they balanced it, and a lot of people just don't. A lot of people, I'm sure, for instance, Mother Teresa had a shadow side, but she just really, really controlled it. You know, and if you think about a lot of the evil people in the world, I'm sure they all had a light side too, but they just never suppressed it. They suppressed it the same way the average person tries to suppress their shadow side. So we're all born with both. I meant. So yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's
and I'm also since I'm considering myself a holistic coach or whatever, or teacher, I think I really spent the last 20 years looking at both, like the scientific, psychological, and the spiritual side. On the spiritual side, you often have this concept of resonance, that if you're in resonance with something specific, you will attract it. So I think as long as you see the faults, the flaws in other people or their dark side, quite often it really is a spitting image or a mirror image of your own darker side. I think it just shows you what you don't want to see within yourself. I don't always see this concept as a true fact, but very often, I must say, even in my own life, when I see a lot of bad around me, I can often find it within myself, and once I get rid of it or I can transform it or accept it, it disappears in my outside life. So I think this is something which is quite fascinating, this mirror game that I play quite often with myself and, of course, with my clients. And people who are open-minded enough to play it usually will agree that they really see it's about seeing this particle of dust in the other's eye, but not the beam within
your own eye. And it bothers
you.
See, that's interesting because, say, for instance, someone has this trait that you just cannot stand. It means that you have this trait too that you don't like, but the other person is displaying that trait, which is really bothering you. That's why, like, I cannot stand him because he's this way. Whereas somebody else could see the same thing and not be bothered by it and say, I don't think that's such a big deal. But there could be something else about that person that someone doesn't like because it's part of who they are. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, you mentioned, too, that the dialogue with the devil has been translated into Spanish recently. So has it even been made into an audiobook, or is the Spanish version available yet?
Yes, right now it only exists as an audiobook so far. You can buy it at audible.com, and the book will probably come up, too, because the translation is there already, but it's not been published in Spanish as a book yet. But the audiobook has been published about 4 to 6 weeks ago. So I think it's quite amazing, just like to go and listen to the hearing sample, to the audio sample, because I don't speak Spanish, but since I wrote the book, I sort of understand like 70% of it. And it's quite funny because they used two different voices for the devil, a male and a female voice, which is quite interesting as a holistic concept for the devil. I'm quite happy actually to know that one of my books exists in 3 languages already.
That's great. So do you have anything coming up, like are there new novels on the works?
Yes, actually, I just published my latest thriller about a month ago, and my newest thriller is almost finished, but that's something I went through quite a lot of times before. I always think now it could be finished and published within 2 or 3 months, but basically it's going to take much longer because I'm going through my novels at least 5 to 7 times. Always find like new little twists and turns I can put in or change something. So I guess this new novel will probably be published sometimes around summer or fall. Mm-hmm. And there's another novel after this coming up that I have half finished already too. So I've been like quite creative over the last 2 years. And there are a lot of short stories that I haven't finished yet that I would love to turn into a short story collection, but that's probably for next year or even a year after that.
Well, you sound like you're very busy. So now I'm going to finally ask you, how can people get a hold of you? How can people reach you?
I think the easiest would be my homepage, mm-hmm. which would be www.dryvespatak.com. So I'll spell it www.dryvespatak.com for Dr. Yves Patak. And there you find all my informations, both in German or English, and you find both informations about me as a physician, as a coach, and as a writer. If you want to get in touch with me, you find my email address there.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Patak. It was such a pleasure. Very interesting, very inspiring. And you know what? I think a lot of our listeners learned quite a bit about the reality of who they are.
Very good. Thanks a lot for the interview, and have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mary.
Have a great one, everyone. Bye for now.